Welcome into the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. It's Thursday, October 30th. That means we are one day away from the veil getting to its thinnest. We're one day away from Halloween. We've got the perfect show for you today. We've got a special guest with us today who is talking about ghostly encounters, terrifyingly true hauntings, his brand new book. Richard Estep is with us today, and we're going to talk ghost stories today on the verge of Halloween. Do want to remind you as well that it's one day as well away from the auction of The Conjuring House. We may talk a little bit about The Conjuring House auction with Richard as well. Just a little footnote. I tell you what I'm also going to do is I'm also going to put the, as a favor to our friend Andrea Perrin, I'm going to put the link up to the GoFundMe that Jason Hawes has posted. And have you guys go over there if you so wish and support that community effort over there as well. One day, folks, until this whole thing pops off, and there are many people in the running for this auction, and I just want to remind you that this is only my opinion, not the opinion of anybody else on Darkness Radio, not the opinion of Richard himself, just my opinion that I think it's a strong community effort. And again, you do get your money back should this group not get The Conjuring House, but I don't see any other effort out there that will truly save this house. So it's just my opinion that, hey, we got to take a stab at it as a community. Why not get behind Jay and his group and Andrea and try to save The Conjuring House? So it'd make a great Halloween present, I think, for the community to try to save this house. So let's get behind it. And as of this taping, I believe they're over $175,000 and rolling. They have one donor that's at $400,000, and they have the backing of most of the community here. So let's get behind it and see what we can do and see if we can't get the community to get The Conjuring House at auction. So there you go. Let's bring on our guest now. We'll talk terrifyingly true hauntings with Richard Estep. Richard Estep is the, first of all, let me just preface it with this. We talk legacies a lot in the paranormal, and I truly do believe that Richard Estep has stepped into the legacy of the greatest in this field, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. You know, Rosemary Ellen Guiley was an author who came in and took over as the historian of the paranormal, and I truly do believe that Richard Estep has filled those shoes. Not only as the historian of the paranormal, but really he's come in and become the historian in true crime as well. And he's filled those shoes beautifully. And he is the guy to go to, not just as far as books go, but TV as well. And I'll tell you a little bit about him. He's the author of numerous books, ranging from paranormal nonfiction and ufology to history and current affairs. These books include Serial Killers, The Mind's Method, and Mayhem of History's Most Notorious Murderers, The Serial Killer Next Door, The Double Lies of Notorious Murderers, Grifters, Frauds and Crooks, True Stories of American Corruption, and the Handy Armed Forces Answer Book. That's just the stuff he's done with Visible Ink. He's a regular columnist for Haunted Magazine, has written for the Journal of Emergency Medical Services. Richard appears regularly on the TV shows Haunted Files, Haunted Hospitals, Paranormal 911, and Paranormal Night Shift, which I appeared on with him, and has guested on Destination Fear and Haunting. He's also an EMT, and we thank him for his service there. He makes his home in Colorado and with his wife and his menagerie of adopted animals, and that's where we're talking to him today. We want to welcome back to Darkness Radio, Richard Estep. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Tim, it's great to be back, and I think comparing me to Rosemary Ellen Guiley might be the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me, so thank you.
You're very welcome, and it's very deserved. I really, truly do believe that you've filled those shoes admirably. I really do.
I appreciate that, and I think that they are big shoes to fill, and you know, I think that those shoes are kind of being somewhat filled by a group of authors. So there are plenty of others out there, I think, that are helping drive Rosemary's legacy on, you know. But thank you. I really do appreciate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about this book, Ghostly Encounters, Terrifyingly True Hauntings. You've compiled so much in the field, but what brings together this set of hauntings in this book?
Well, it's a great subject for Devil's Night, isn't it? Night before Halloween.
Yeah.
I When I was a kid growing up, I'm talking now about maybe 7, 8, 9 years old, I used to get a very specific type of book under the Christmas tree. And it were books by guys like Daniel Farson, Peter Underwood. I don't know if you're familiar with their work, but they would do these books about hauntings just enough to whet your appetite and what make you want to go to read more in-depth studies. And so I'd finished the book before this with Visible Ink, and they said, "What do you want to do next?" And I said, "I really want to write that kind of book." That my working title for it was Great Hauntings, because to me, one of the best conversations you can have as a person of paranormal interests is if we get around a fire with a cup of tea or some mulled wine, you know, one cold dark night, Tim, whether it's me and you or 5 or 10 of us, and we were to say, "What are our top three, top five great hauntings?" We're going to have some similarities and we're going to have some differences, you know? And I wanted to kind of shed some light on some of those cases. And because my readership is primarily here in the US, I'd wanted to shed some light on some British cases that perhaps they weren't aware of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excuse me.
Absolutely. What I love about this book and is talking not necessarily about malevolent hauntings or darker hauntings. You also have hauntings here, and you span the gamut of different hauntings. So, for example, the Philip experiment, which, I love talking about tulpas, love talking about the
Arguably not a haunting at all, right, Tim?
Right. You're absolutely right. Arguably not a haunting at all. And I guess we can start there. Talking about, and if you would, launch a little bit into it about what exactly the Philip experiment is.
It was this idea, which is now fairly commonplace, but a bunch of Canadian researchers, working 40 years ago, decided to set out and see if they could actually create a ghost. In the same way that anybody who plays Dungeons and Dragons or any kind of role-playing game is familiar with character creation, you come up with these stats, you come up with this background for your character, you try and get the details right, and then you try and infuse it with life, and you go crawl dungeons with it. Well, they tried to do this for real in Toronto, and they created this nobleman called Philip, of course, completely fictitious. They gave him this backstory and they injected a healthy amount of tragedy into it because, of course, what's a life without some tragedy in it to shade it and give it color? And they started infusing it with intent, with focused purpose, and then tried to communicate with Philip. And they did Ouija boards, they did table tipping, and lo and behold, they started trying to communicate and something started talking back, something which answered as if it were this completely fictitious imaginary nobleman. So, in effect, they conjured what appeared to be a ghost. Or so you might think. I mean, there are other possibilities. One strong possibility is they were actually communicating with the psychokinetic effects of their own subconscious. There are other possibilities, but nonetheless, I don't think we have a good definition for the term ghost. I think it's such a broad umbrella, and there's part of our mindset, I think, that just defaults to ghosts equal dead people, and that's super lazy thinking, And I get why we were all brought up that way. It's Halloween. As I look out of my window now, the neighbors have the white sheet ghosts hanging from trees above gravestones. We're wired to think of this. And yet, I do think that ghosts and hauntings are a much more complex phenomenon than simply the idea that something survives bodily death. What do you think?
Well, you're absolutely right. Ghosts can be really anything from that scarred memory on the landscape that is, and we can talk a little bit about Gettysburg a little bit later too. That scarred memory that is in the land from a traumatic event. Devil's Den comes up a lot. I mean, you and I have both been to Devil's Den, and I think of that scarred memory that sits in the landscape from a traumatic event. Right? We talk about residual hauntings. Things that have been there. You talk about tulpas. You talk about somebody making up. I hate to use the word making up, but that's what's coming to mind right now. Someone formulating a story, and then you talk about the will that we have, this willpower, this energy we put forward. And the human mind's a wonderful thing. It's a powerful thing. But when you put it together, you talk about the power of prayer, you talk about the power of intent. You and I get together, we could put 10, 20 people together, and we could do wonderful things, right? We could put the power of intent together. And if we could put a story together, much like the Philip experiment, maybe we can create some sort of character, right?
And I actually did this myself with two of my friends and colleagues in Iowa. One of my favorite haunted locations is Malvern Manor. And along with Josh Hurd, who is Mr. Malvern Manor, and Sarah Stream, a fellow investigator, we decided to create not one, but two entities. And we did exactly what they did for the Philip experiment. And I went so far as to commission an artist to draw them. And then we framed and hung paintings in two different rooms on two different floors of the manor. And we asked visitors if they would consent to being part of an experiment without telling them exactly what it was. And those who consented, when Josh would give his tours of the manor, he would feed in these extra stories about these new residents that had been discovered. And what's absolutely fascinating is that one of them seemed to take on a life of his own, and the other, not a thing. Completely inert, never heard from her, not a whisper. But the male entity, who was on the ground floor, people began getting his name. They began getting knocks in response. They got EVPs with his name. Very, very interesting to us. Very interesting.
Incredible. Yeah. Now, here's the question I have, and that is, can someone who is a cynic or a skeptic come in and break up that energy? If you have someone who's, let's say you put 20 people in a room, you have 19 who sit down and, let's say, put together someone like Philip. Can someone with a hard cynic energy come in and break up that character?
And now, are you talking about during the creation process or afterwards when supposedly this entity has been given form?
Both.
Well, I think during the creation process, you're probably not going to get a skeptic or a cynic taking part. And the three of us were very open-minded about this. We thought that it certainly had potential, not least because that trail had been blazed by the Philip experiment. That's my first thought. And then we come down to the whole of some people just psychic dampeners, you know? We all know the party pooper. We all know that individual who's basically Colin Robinson from What We Do in the Shadows, you know, the energy vampire that feeds on negativity. I think that kind of person can be an inhibitor of any psychic activity of any form, personally. The good news is they tend to be few and far between on paranormal research teams.
There's another story in the book, which is similar yet not quite, which I don't know how to take it. That's Jeff the Talking Mongoose, which when I read it, I kind of laughed a little bit about it. But you talk about, you know, a haunting that happens in a house and you don't know whether it's the family, whether it's somebody doing something in the house that makes it seem like there's a haunting, or whether it's a genuine haunting. Tell us a little bit about Jeff the Talking Mongoose, what I'm talking about exactly, and what you believe as far as this thing goes, and I'll tell you what I think.
Yeah, I mean, so this is one of the more, the weirder cases, and it surprised me how many folks, when I lecture about this, how many folks in the U.S. have not heard of this case, because there was a pretty cool movie made about this, which you can see now online. It's called Nandor Fodor and the Talking Mongoose, and stars Simon Pegg. Essentially during the 1930s on the Isle of Man, which is a windswept, rainy little island off the British coast, think a small version of Wyoming, but with more wind and rain. You had this family living in a place called Cashin's Gap. It was a mom, a dad, and their teenage daughter, which instantly kind of raises a flag when you start thinking about poltergeist-like activity, you know? And they started experiencing, well, poltergeist-like activity, which was attributed to supposedly this talking mongoose who said its name was Jeff. And Jeff was by turns mischievous, pranksterish, capricious, and sometimes a little bit aggressive, not beyond scratching and nipping and things like that. And this became quite a media sensation through the 1930s in the UK, to the point where, you know, it made like headline news in the newspapers. So the great ghost hunter, and I say that with a bit of a wink, Harry Price, who was also kind of a great showman, got involved with this case. And it said that Jeff did not like Harry Price or anybody else and refused to perform for him because he was too skeptical, which is kind of interesting. It didn't stop Price from writing a book about it called The Haunting of Cashin's Gap. And so the newspapers dismissed this whole thing as ventriloquism. They said it was the teenage daughter, Veray Irving, basically was throwing her voice, which how she learned how to do that, it's an acquired skill, right? It's not one you're born with. Quite how she learned how to do that in this lonely farmhouse pre-internet, pre-YouTube tutorial, you know, is beyond me. And she did it well enough to fool numerous visitors. And more interestingly, I think Jeff would go off on these adventures, disappear, would come back, and then report in gossip from elsewhere on the island. Stuff that really nobody in that house should have been able to know. But Jeff came back with these stories, having told of his adventures. So, Jeff, by turns, claimed to be the spirit of a dead human. He claimed to be an evil spirit at times, kind of like a demonic entity almost, and also claimed to be a talking mongoose. So even Jeff did not keep his story straight. But the mongoose claimed to have come from India on a ship and dropped off at the Isle of Man. There are a couple of black and white photographs of Jeff, which it looks like a mongoose. What can I tell you? There's no real value there. They analyzed some of the hairs that were found, and they were found to belong to the family dog. Okay. So there's not a shred of compelling evidence, objective evidence, to support the fact that Jeff, you know, existed, that the mongoose ever spoke, that this was a paranormal case. And yet, it became this sensation across the UK, you know. Questions were raised in Parliament at one point, for goodness sake. It was alluded to there. And it gripped the imagination of so many. And the case went on for about 10 years. And then when Mr. Irving died in the house, his widow and their daughter left and went relocated to the British mainland. And the case ended. It fizzled. But to this day, I still wonder, you know, fraud, charlatanry, poltergeist, something weirder than the above. I don't know, but it is one of the great cases.
See, I almost have to lean towards a poltergeist type case. You would think, right, that the girl almost brings it in. She's the one who really fuels it. And then the minute that they move away, there's nothing, right?
Yeah. And, you know, scratches in the walls, that's another kind of, you see that in numerous cases, including the case which inspired The Exorcist, of course. That's fairly common at the outbreak of poltergeist cases as well. And yet there are a few red flags. Jeff liked food, human food, and was particularly partial to bacon and eggs. So Jeff and I would have gotten on there, I think. That food went somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, there are numerous accounts of people kind of hearing Jeff's voice, and not one of them was able to expose this girl or anybody else in the house. So I still wonder.
Yeah, it's an interesting case, that's for sure. Very much an interesting case. You do cover the Enfield poltergeist, again, a case that's been covered quite a bit, and we'll leave that for the book so that people can read that if they're not familiar. But you cover quite a bit of poltergeist activity in the book, which is good. I always love a good poltergeist case, that's for sure.
Me too, and for me, Enfield is right up there. You know?
Yeah,
it is. And it was butchered so badly with the second Conjuring movie. I wish more Americans read the original source material by Guy Lyon Playfair.
Yes. Yeah. I'll jump to the Conjuring house. You made a good transition there. We'll talk about that here in a second. But the let me ask you about movies in general, because people really do take movies and they take that as the be all end all story. Does that irk you?
Immensely. You look at again, I know you didn't want to talk about Enfield, but you look at the fact that two guys basically lived with that family for years. They embedded themselves. They were there late nights, early mornings. They paid money to, you know, help take care of the family, and they become a byline in the movie about Ed and Lorraine Warren, who were at Enfield for less than a day.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we have, you know, so, and yet they're the stars of the show. And that does kind of, there's real danger in allowing Hollywood to feed you your history, right? I mean, I love a good historical movie. I think Braveheart's terrific, as long as you don't mistake it for history.
Yes.
Robert the Bruce and William Wallace lived decades apart.
Yeah.
You know, but how many folks think that they fought together against English tyranny? They did both fight against English tyranny, but not together and very differently.
Right. But see, it's the fact that we see it on the screen, we get our emotions swept up in it, we want to believe what we see.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, the problem is we think Hollywood is a documentary, and it isn't. It often isn't meant to be either. But in an ideal world, a good Hollywood movie sends somebody to the library. That's how I would love it to work. You know, it's done that for me several times. If you see a movie that really resonates with you, that really inspires you, go check out a good, reputable history book. Filmmakers will usually tell you they had to change certain things, they had to cut corners, some things are not known, so they had to invent them. That's the art of Hollywood. That's fine as long as they're upfront about it, you know? Right. It's fine when the magician is tricking you as long as we both know he's tricking you. It becomes more of a problem when you take it at face value. So, you know, enjoy the movies for what they are and then go read something.
Because this last Conjuring movie, boy, they took such bad liberties. Good movie, but it was horrible when it came to how badly they convoluted things. And even the surviving members are out there going, whoa, did you really screw up our family line? And did you do this? And you did this? And you know, great movie. And they're all saying the same thing. Great movie, but you did a horrible job of documenting everything that was.
But they've done that consistently. I mean, look at what the first one did to the reputation of Bathsheba Sherman.
Yeah.
To the point where that poor woman's gravestone was smashed and desecrated, and she was vilified as a Satanist and all kinds of stuff that just didn't happen. But hey, Hollywood, right? Hollywood wants to tell its story. And I know you were going to bring up the Conjuring House auction.
Yes.
And I know this is a huge hot button for almost everybody right now. And I'll tread carefully, but not too carefully. But again, this is just my opinion and nobody else's. I don't represent this show or you or anyone else. Here's my opinion. Firstly, I think Andrea Perrin is a wonderful woman, and I know she wants that house to be put in good hands, and I completely agree. I would like to see it kept out of the hands of these kind of tour companies, which will pervert the history and sensationalize and things of that nature and cash in the worst possible way. So I think the number one priority is to keep it out of the hands of the grifters, as other properties have unfortunately fallen into.
Agreed.
In my ideal world, why doesn't Warner Brothers undo some of the damage they've done to history? Why don't they buy it and donate it to the community and run it as a trust?
I agree.
What better, you know, they've made billions with a B of dollars on the Conjuring universe. A lot of it on the back of this house, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Warner Brothers could write a check like this today. They could turn it into a museum. They could put it in trust, have a local historical society. I don't know exactly the logistics, but Warner Brothers could step in and do this and do the right thing after they have they've taken so many liberties with real people's lives and legacies, I think.
Although I can only see one issue with that, Richard, and you're going to hate me for saying this, but right now they're in the middle of trying to be bought by Skydance.
Sure. That all right, well, let's go one step further. James Wan, the director, the guy that made so many of the Conjuring movies and oversees that universe, he's not short of a few bucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, right. And James has put out these movies, which again have distorted the reality of what happened. He was directly responsible for that second Conjuring movie and the one that covered Enfield. So James, write a check, man. $1 million is pocket change. We know what you make to direct a movie.
That's right. Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
I like that even better. I like that even better. And he could turn it into a museum, or he could turn it into an ideal thing for the paranormal community. Absolutely.
At the very least, keep it out of the hands of those who would, who would essentially blacken any legacy it might have, you know?
Yes, I agree. I just, the reason why I throw my chips behind the movement that's there now is it's the best solution that's out there right now. The best one that's been presented, we'll put it that way, the best one that's been presented. And no one's stepped forward. If someone like James Wan were to come forward and say, hey, I'm going to do it and do it for the community, and that's it and that's that. Hey, I'd throw my chips behind that. But it doesn't seem like anyone's come forward and given that example, right? Or given that.
From what I've seen, Tim, it does very much seem like this has galvanized a whole bunch of people whose hearts are in the right place. And that's really good to see in the paranormal community.
Yeah.
So, you know, that alone, that sense of unity, is heartening to see. You're seeing a lot of people come together in a good cause. So I applaud that, if nothing else.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we'll see what happens. Again, tomorrow's the big day, and that you know, God willing, it according to the auctioneer, again, this could be hyperbole, Richard. They say they have hundreds of people lined up, a lot of them being developers who want to come in and just wipe the house out altogether, and they want the land. That's the scariest thing, is that the house altogether gets raised. They want the land, they want to develop, I don't know, senior condos, whatever it is they want to develop, a golf course, whatever it is they want to put on the land. That could be the worst case scenario.
So I have a kind of question, you know, devil's advocate, but we hear of other houses, other locations of historic significance that are also threatened right now.
Yeah, Pennhurst is one of them.
Pennhurst being the obvious one, yeah. But I mean, they've done it with, you know, Linda Vista Hospital was another one. Unique, iconic, haunted location turned into a retirement homes for senior citizens, which we definitely need more of. Why is it that the Conjuring House strikes more of a nerve collectively than, say, the loss of Pennhurst?
I think because there have been multi-million dollar movies made about it recently. And it's struck a nerve.
And I hate to say this because it sounds terrible, but if, you know, Pennhurst has real significance culturally, historically, the Conjuring House has real significance, I think, to Andrea and her family. And I really hope she gets the outcome she wants. But on a macro scale, I just don't see why people aren't up in arms about Pennhurst every bit as much, if not more.
You know, Jessica and I were talking about it yesterday, and she asked that same question. She asked why there wasn't outrage in that community like there is with the Conjuring House. And I said, I want you to look at it like we would look at it locally here in Minnesota. And why, she asked why it wasn't a historic monument, why Pennhurst wasn't a historic monument. I said, look at it like we look at it here with Anoka State Hospital. Pennhurst really was used up until, what was it, the 90s or 2000s, was used like an administrative building. So I think for the state of Pennsylvania, Pennhurst really was a functional building. And to them, it isn't revered, right? It was looked at as hospital, office space, a land to be used in a municipal setting. So to them, it's not revered, right?
In which case, I don't want to say somebody has failed, but I will say that the case needs to perhaps be made then as to what the historical and cultural significance truly is. The powers that be are not being made to appreciate the importance of Pennhurst in the history of just U.S. mental health.
Yes.
No, that alone is something which I think merits it being preserved in the same way that Waverly Hills needs to be preserved, not just for the ghosts, but primarily because of what it says about our war against tuberculosis 100 years ago.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed.
We'd all be trying to save Waverly Hills if they were going to turn that into condos, right?
Right. But the thing that we're running up against now, especially with Pennhurst, is they want to turn Pennhurst into a data center. So they're measuring the needs of the future. And especially the governor of Pennsylvania is saying, well, now we need the data center. We need it now. And you have this perfectly good land sitting there that what are we doing with it? Right. What are the needs of the many versus the needs of the few? And they're saying, well, where else are we going to develop this? You have this huge amount of land. It's near water. It's everything we need. And it's there for the taking.
Then the real history the real discussion needs to be, is Pennhurst significant enough to offset that need for a data center?
Right.
And really, that's a discussion that needs to be had rationally and, yeah, devoid of emotion. And it may well be the case that, you know, the state's current needs do outweigh that old building. But one thing you cannot deny is that it absolutely is a home. Home is not the right word. It absolutely is the kind of place that does attract people, does bring people in. And they, at least once they come in for the paranormal, learn about the history of mental health care and asylums throughout the United States, you know. So don't wreck it immediately. At the very least, bring in some historians, have that discussion before you swing a wrecking ball. That would be my hope.
Well, and also, you know, if we don't learn the history, we're doomed to repeat it, right? So
we've proven that we are not very good at learning history, just period, but yeah.
Right, and we seem to be repeating a lot of history these days.
Surely we do.
And it seems like we need a nice, good, long review these days.
Yeah, I think a good sober review of that is a great idea. And again, you know, back to the Conjuring House, My heart goes out to Andrea. It really does. It's a family home. It would break her heart if it fell into the wrong hands or was demolished. But in the grand scheme of things, how important is that property?
Right.
You know, I'm not saying it isn't. I'm saying that I'm not someone that is qualified to judge. There are many people who know that location and the history of that area far, far better than I do, local historians and authors and people like that. I'd love to know what their opinions are.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I mean, in fact, I have the information in front of me here, so let me take a look. The home was built in 1836, so I mean, you could qualify it for some sort of historical, historical.
Yeah, 190 years.
Yeah. So if it's so deemed, you could try to get some sort of historical recognition for it. It sits as it is now, you know, now that the mortgage has been bought off of it, it sits at a value last year, Richard, of $597,900. I mean, it has some, just the land and the house itself without giving it any value, you know, any haunted value on top of it.
Which is a real thing, but yes.
Yeah, which is a real thing, especially on the East Coast. But just the value of the home and the land itself, it has significant value. So that's why you have these different builders coming in and wanting to bid at auction. That's why you've got hundreds of people lined up.
Yeah. And then you have that, of course, you know, I'm sure there are people talking about, no doubt the Salmon Colbys, you know, the YouTubers, the Matt Rifes and things of that nature coming in. And I'd say their money is as good as anybody else's. I mean, whoever buys the place ultimately gets to decide what its legacy is.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that legacy is preserved, again, if for nobody else's sake than Andrea's. I really do hope so.
Right. Absolutely. All right. With that, we'll take a break. When we come back, I want to talk more of these terrifyingly true hauntings with Richard. We're going to talk more about the book and a few of the other more unusual cases in the book. I want to talk a little bit about residual hauntings with Richard. We'll talk a little bit about Gettysburg in Devil's Den and some of the more unusual cases there at Gettysburg, and some of the ones maybe that you haven't heard about from the book as well. Maybe we'll talk airships while we're at it as well. More with Richard when we come back. The book is available right now, and we have a link in the description of this program. And there it is right there, Ghostly Encounters, Terrifyingly True Hauntings. If you're watching on video, Richard's holding up a copy of it right now. It's available from Visible Ink Press. When we come back, we'll talk Gettysburg, airships, and more right here on the best in paranormal podcasting, Darkness Radio.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. My guest is Richard Estep. You got that book, Richard? You can hold it up for people on video. There it is.
There we go.
Ghostly Encounters, Terrifyingly True Hauntings. My guest is Richard Estep, who is the author of this wonderful book. And it's got all kinds of different hauntings in this book. Anything from residual to active to malevolent to even nice hauntings. One of the things that you point out, and you've pointed out before on this show, is that one time you gave the tours at the Stanley Hotel, and and one of my favorite places, all time favorite places on earth. It feels like home, which makes me think that at one time or another, even though it's wonderful, it's welcoming. You get up there and it's peaceful. I mean, not only just the mountains and the hotel itself is just such a beautiful, beautiful hotel. It makes me wonder, is it a past life thing, Richard, or is it just the fact that it is so peaceful and serene?
Could be either, I think. I'm maybe a little of column A and a little of column B, Tim. Who knows? I mean, I've often talked about the fact that, you know, one of the most common haunting, one of the most common phenomena types reported at the Stanley are the footsteps of children running, laughing, giggling, playing, which is a little bit more terrifying at 3 a.m. than 3 p.m., our guests were told. But what kind of fascinates me is no child ever died at that hotel.
Yeah.
Ever. So, you know, my pal Aidan Sinclair, who was the resident illusionist at the Stanley, had a hypothesis. He always said, when the Stanley opened, it was Disneyland, basically. You would go up in 1909, you'd go for the whole summer. You would be happier there than any other time and place in your life. You have week after week of, you know, hot, beautiful days. What fun am I going to have today? What mischief will I get into? You had none of the worries of adult life, no relationships, no mortgages, no bills, no careers. Just golden days, you know, the days we all kind of look back on and just go, ah. And it makes me wonder if spirits really do have the opportunity to choose to go back to certain places and times. Wouldn't we all want to revisit those happiest days of our lives? I know I would.
Yeah. I mean, that if there's such a thing as retirement and spiritdom, I got to think that'd be the place, right?
I would too. So, you know, it would make total sense to me that those kids might go back and do that. On the other hand, it could just be residual, that that happiness was so pervasive, it somehow imprinted itself paranormally on that environment, and that we are picking up after echoes of that, you know, century ago childhood shenanigans today.
See, that's the thing, you know, speaking of residual little tapes playing in the background, who's to say that those kids you hear at a certain time, which I have heard those kids, by the way, and I have stayed in 217. I've heard those kids running down the hall. And to me, it didn't seem, to some people, it seems creepy. To me, it doesn't. To me, the sound of a child's laughter is never creepy. To me, hearing kids laughing is a happy thing.
So, unless you don't have one and it's in your house.
Well, but see, to me, it's you know, kids running up and down the hall. And if it's at night and you're trying to sleep, I guess it's not a great thing. But when you hear them running up and down the hall, to me, that's playing. That's happy. It doesn't seem creepy at all.
I mean, I agree. We have to talk about bias. I mean, the Stanley owes a lot to Stephen King. And for my money, there should be a statue to Stephen King at the hotel. Yes. Right next to F.O. Stanley, because without him, the place would not have survived economically. He'd still be with us today. But the cost of that is The Shining and everything that came with it. So we all know the imagery. The Stanley, of course, capitalizes on that, and understandably so. But it means that many people visit and they have this perception, this misperception. Well, there must be this dark and tragic history, you know, when in reality, The Shining was completely fictitious. There was no, you know, caretaker went mad, killed his family with an axe. There was no woman in the bathtub, nothing like that. Have there been deaths? Yeah. Show me a hotel that doesn't, over a century plus of lifetime. But people get married there every weekend. People go for reunions. People like you just find it's their happy place. The net feeling at that hotel is positive, positive, positive.
Right.
You know, and I think that can fuel a haunting every bit as much as the darker side can.
And there's definitely spirits there. Don't get me wrong, but it has that lighter feeling to it. I mean, you're going to run into spirits, but it's definitely a lighter haunting.
And, agreed. Yeah. Agreed. Of all the time I spent there over 3 years, I was scratched once in my sleep by I don't know what. But beyond that, even then, I didn't feel it was particularly malevolent or malicious. You know, I think most of what's at that hotel is perfectly fine to be around.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the darker side of things. Another place we've both been, and that's Gettysburg. You want to talk about trauma and places that may both have active hauntings and residual hauntings. I think maybe Gettysburg is a little bit more residual than it is active. There's a lot of tapes that play over and over and over again, I think, in that particular scenario. I've been to the Jenny Wade house. I've been to Devil's Den. I've been to a few of those, where I know what I'm getting are tapes playing over and over again. You mentioned in the book the sound of a bugle playing at 4:30 in the morning. I've talked to investigators who can trigger things and get, if they put out a certain, like if they start to call off roll call, they'll get something back. That's more of an active call and response type thing. There are things that you can trigger.
Yes.
You know,
stimulus response stuff.
Yeah. But to me, it seems like to be trapped on a battlefield, I mean, you want to talk about hell, to be trapped on a battlefield for the rest of eternity. That to me, it seems like the ultimate definition of hell, don't you think?
It does not seem great, I'll grant you. And I've pondered this a lot. I do think there is a whole lot about it at Gettysburg that is residual. The late great Southern historian Shelby Foote, who was featured very heavily in Ken Burns' series The Civil War, one of the greatest pieces of documentary television ever made, he has a quote. And he's talking about Pickett's Charge specifically, you know, the climactic third day charge the Confederates unsuccessfully made against the Union lines. And it's regarded as the high watermark of the Confederacy. Like everything after that third day, the Confederates, although they would go on to have other battlefield wins, overall, the war had turned against them on that day. Like Lee had blunted his army enough. There was really no coming back. But he said, every Southern boy can close their eyes and imagine themselves at whatever time it was, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, standing on Pickett's Charge right before the whistle blows. In other words, it's all potential. It's all, you know, the cause that they were fighting for. And of course, let's not get debating the rights and wrongs of it. That's a whole other discussion.
Right.
But the cause was still within their grasp at that point. Mm-hmm. And by the time they had so many casualties, it was ridiculous. But by the time those stragglers came back, they were pretty much done. And it makes me wonder if some of them are not perhaps locked in this loop of playing it over and over again. And will it be different this time? Will it be different this time? Could it be different this time? If only, if only, if only, you know? Because it was psychologically brutal, not just in terms of the wounds and the trauma. George Pickett, you know, the charge was unfairly, I think, named after him because he was only one of three commanders. It really should have been Pickett, Pettigrew, Trimble's charge, I believe. But hey, it doesn't roll off the tongue. But Pickett famously, when Lee told him, you know, General Pickett, look to your division, he said, General Lee, I have no division. And afterwards, Pickett, who was about as pro-Lee before Gettysburg as you could get, used to say, that old man destroyed my division. That's, you know, he would say that. The remorse, the strong emotion continued afterwards. The regrets continued afterwards. And then on the Union side, you had this euphoria, you know. Finally, here was the win that Lincoln had been waiting for, the win that the Army of the Potomac, after it had changed so many commanders because they had lost so ignominiously, this was the big rousing win that the Army of the Potomac under George Meade wanted. So you had emotion high and low, and all of this trauma, all in this relatively small space. It would be remarkable if there weren't some kind of after echo of that, Tim.
Yeah, that's a huge ball of emotion that sits on that field. I mean, those fields in that area. Mm. And of course it scars the earth. And there's that tape that plays over and over and over again. And within that, those tapes, I mean, there's little mini tapes that sit within that area. You talk about, I mean, Jenny Wade alone, that scenario where someone is shot.
Do you not think with Jenny Wade, though, Tim? I mean, there's one thing. It's one thing to walk the fields and you have this big expanse. But with that house, you've got fairly confined, like close quarters, you know? Mm-hmm. And you have tour guides, docents that are just telling that story over and over again. I almost put the Jenny Wade house and the orphanage in the same category as I do the OK Corral, where over and over again, day after day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, people are coming in and hearing that same thing over and over and over again. That's almost the concentrated version for me, you know. Does that make sense?
So are you saying that we're keeping that alive?
Yeah.
That we're keeping?
Yeah, I mean, like when I was at the OK Corral in Tombstone, they do that gunfight three times a day,
yeah,
364 days a year. The Earps always win, except on April Fool's Day, when the bad guys, quote unquote, and they, in reality, there were no good guys and bad guys, right? All
right.
Gray hats.
Right.
But the Clantons win on April Fool's Day, which I think is brilliant. But then, as funny as that sounds, imagine if there are spirits there. That is 364 times three, over 1,000 annual repetitions of this same traumatic event.
Yeah.
Are they re-traumatizing any spirits that might be there?
You know, that's a good point. You know, not only that, but you're not only retelling the story, but we're also putting our energy and our focus into it. And I mean, there are that many people that are, it's not just an intent thing, but there's a heart emotion that goes into it too. I mean, we're giving our, I don't want to say pity. It's not pity, but it's a empathy that we, that's the word I'm looking for. We're putting an empathy into it. So there's
hopefully.
Yeah. So there's a, there's a heart emotion that goes into it, and we're feeding that spirit as well, right?
Well, and again, I've said it over and over, where one finds strong emotion, one finds ghosts. And that emotion doesn't have to be fear, terror, pain, or anything like that. It can just as much be love and compassion, something that tugs at the heartstrings. You go hear Jenny Wade's story, and it is heartbreaking, you know? It just makes me wonder how many, you know, the number of replays there are of that over and over again. Is this a tulpa? You know, I mean, perhaps Jenny Wade has long since gone to her rest, and whatever's there is something that has been created paranormally by the tens of thousands of repetitions of that story, which have taken place within those same stone walls in that same cellar. If her body is still lying under a white sheet, makes you wonder, right?
Well, and that's kind of why I wanted to come full circle back around to some of the areas in Gettysburg. You know, we get a lot of residual tapes that play, but really, and this is where I wanted to bring it back around again, how many actual soldiers do you think are still on the battlefield in Gettysburg? How many do you think have actually gone to their final reward, and how many do you think are actually still wandering the field?
Yeah, it's a great question. And whenever I see reenactors there, I always want to reach out and just make sure that they're, you know, they are in fact reenactors. Because you do, you see civilian and uniformed reenactors alike, you know. You see the ladies in those period dresses at dusk, and they kind of glide rather than walk. You know, they move so gracefully, holding a lantern, and you're like, oh man, is she casting a shadow? It's tough to tell.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree with you. I think whenever I'm asked what is the single most haunted town on Earth, if you leave London aside, then you really have to go with Gettysburg, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a stunning place to investigate. I'll tell you that. And that, you know, you have to question yourself whenever you get a piece of evidence. What am I up against here? Is this a tape from the past? Have I got something active here? Is it, you know, what am I dealing with? What am I capturing here? What am I holding here? Is it a piece of history? Is it something trying to actually, you know, physically communicate with me? What am I?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what do I?
And I think Gettysburg kind of sees it all. You know, I mean, you have layer upon layer upon layer in that town, and I always feel drawn back. I finally got to Antietam last year. And the reason it's taken me this long, because it's a really short drive from Gettysburg, mm-hmm. and it's no less important of a battlefield, is that Gettysburg just keeps sucking me in every time. Oh, like, I get drawn back there. I feel like the past, it's so much easier to connect with the past on a visceral level in that town than almost any other place I've ever been.
Yeah, I bet. You know? I bet. The other one I bet that's easy to get sucked into is Alcatraz. I've never been, but I want to.
Me neither. It's totally on my bucket list.
Yeah. And that seems to me like one that, and I have friends that have been, mm-hmm. And they tell me that it's kind of it's a little bit intimidating, but at the same time, it's a little bit of a mine that you can, you know, a lot of residual stuff. It doesn't seem like it's very active, but there's some active stuff, but it seems like it's very much a residual thing where you're picking up, you know, a lot of memories, right?
I mean, talk about a place with a fearsome reputation, you know, Alcatraz, which did not see a huge loss of life. I mean, you know, there has been loss of life, don't get me wrong. Heck, there was an actual Battle of Alcatraz, which a lot of people don't know about. But I think that more there, the place just has this fearsome rep. And we all have this image of Alcatraz in our mind, right? The rock. I mean, you even say the word Alcatraz, we can all see it in our heads. We can all conjure up an image of that lonely building in the bay. So I think, again, energetically, you know, there is this mass kind of consciousness at work there in some ways.
Well, just to think that there have been prisoners that tried to escape, mm-hmm. but didn't, you know.
That's true. And then others that may or may not have escaped.
Yeah.
And many colorful stories. I mean, prisons, so many haunted prisons, right? For obvious reasons. But Alcatraz just has that cachet that the others don't.
Right. You bring up, and we'll bring it up just briefly, the in two different parts of the book, you bring up Al Capone, both with Eastern State Penitentiary and with Alcatraz. And it's kind of an interesting thread, especially with the syphilis that infects Al Capone. One part of that chapter is more of a cushy part of Al Capone's stay. The other one is not so much. If you've ever seen the cell at Eastern State,
yeah,
very cushy existence for Al Capone. It's almost enviable for the times how cushy Al Capone had it, and I take it probably not so cushy at Alcatraz for Al Capone. A different story.
Yeah, I mean they send you to Alcatraz not least to make an example of you, you know. And Capone was problematic as a prisoner in more ways than one. But I think Capone's a great example. You hear about his ghost all the time. He gets around in the afterlife as Al Capone. His ghost is actually reported in multiple different places. And of course, you know, Alcatraz and Eastern State Pen are two of them, which if you're going to pick somewhere to haunt after your death, probably not a place of incarceration by choice, you know?
Yeah.
But the big ghost story that always gets told about Capone is how he was supposedly tormented by the ghosts of the victims of, you know, men he either killed or had killed in like the St. Valentine's Day Massacre and stuff. But they all forget about the fact that, and I always highlight this, that syphilis, when it gets into the brain, causes hallucinations. The reason they let him out early, because they did, was that he essentially had the mental capacity of like a 14-year-old and was drooling and would talk to people that weren't there all the time.
Yeah.
You don't really need ghosts to explain that away when you look at the degenerative brain disease he was suffering from, unfortunately. But that doesn't explain why those cells are haunted or said to be haunted today.
True. Very true. Yeah. And I would like to think that maybe in the afterlife, you don't necessarily want to go back to a time where you're incarcerated, but why would you?
Yeah. It'd be like going back to work. And yet people do.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Or at least we do hear these stories. So again, it brings us back to the point you were making earlier about residual versus intelligent and which is which, you know. Imagine going to work in the afterlife and just not getting paid.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That sucks.
I don't know why you'd want to make that jump, or why you'd want to actually, I don't know, want to go back to jail. That to me is the last place I'd want to end up.
We don't hear of too many haunted data centers either, do we?
No, there's not too many haunted data
centers.
Funny that. But you never know.
Haunted IT help desks.
Yes. Yeah. Haunted help desks. Although it'd be fun to see one, you know, if there was.
Resulting in damage to her hull and catastrophic flooding.
There we go. My iPad decided to speak up.
Haunted iPads.
Last but not least, let's talk haunted airships, shall we? Let's talk about the R101 airship. Tell us a little bit about why we're addressing airships and ships in general in this book.
Yeah, I feel like airships are one of those kind of great tragic things that almost were but never quite happened. And what I mean by that is the airship played a role in the First World War, you know, but Britain was bombed by German Zeppelins, in fact. Airships played a role throughout the kind of interwar years before World War II. But in the late 1920s, early 1930s, the plan of the British Empire was to run the empire not just with ships, but with airships. The idea being if you build a big enough airship and things are troublesome in, let's say, Karachi, that you could put a battalion of Marines on an airship and float them there in a day or two, you know, far faster than you could put them on a ship and sail them there or steam them there. And that you could have mail delivered kind of like Amazon Prime of its day by airship, you know, instead of by steamship. Important dispatches, things like that. VIPs could go in luxury transcontinental. So that was kind of the idea. And Britain built this, or I should say put in place this big airship program in the late 20s. They built two prototypes, the R-100 and the R-101. Different designs, but the biggest thing to ever fly at that time was the R-101. An airship which, unfortunately, a good nickname for it would be the Titanic of the skies, because they tried to make it the safest thing in the air as well. But they made it a little too heavy. Its frame was a little too heavy for the lift it was capable of generating. They solved that problem, they thought, by cutting it in half and sticking it in a middle section with an extra gas bag. Turns out that just made things worse. All of the safety checks and the trials that should go into place for something like that were skipped at the urging of the British government, who wanted to be kind of first to market. They wanted to show the whole world how mighty the British Empire was. And all you would have to do would be look up and see this big symbol of British aviation might in the skies above you. R101 is 777 feet long. I mean, that's massive.
Jeez.
And on the night of her first voyage, where she's flying to India, she runs into rough weather across the English Channel. She ends up crashing on a lonely hillside in rural France. And the vast majority of those aboard die, and they die pretty horribly, some of them in their beds burning to death. Which should be the end of it, except our old friend Harry Price, the following day, is conducting a seance in the UK. And he's working with this medium, Eileen Garrett, and they know nothing about this airship thing. They're trying to contact the ghost of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who died that July. So this is now like 3 months later. And Conan Doyle always said, you know, Tim, he was big in spiritualism, and he always said, I will come through and I will communicate once I'm across the veil. So they're trying to reach him. What they end up channeling, though, is the ghost of a man called Irvin, who was the R101's captain, a flight lieutenant in the British Air Force. And he starts talking about why the ship crashed. He starts giving details that Mrs. Eileen Garrett, who is, she's, I say this with the greatest respect, but she is a rural countryside Irish lady. And yeah. What I mean is, not, I'm not saying she isn't smart. Right. I'm saying that she has no background in civil aviation engineering. Just as I don't, and you probably don't either.
Right, no. Yeah.
So she starts talking, though, about these technical terms like usable lift and so forth, why the R101 crashed. And she knows things that will eventually come to be proven true, but haven't yet appeared in the newspapers. Things that her captain, though, should have known.
Wow.
And as the seances continue, more and more members of R101's crew come on board, and they talk about safety cuts that should never have happened. They talk about an inquiry will be held where it will all be swept under the rug. It did. Exactly that way is how it went down. The British government inquiry exonerated, shockingly, the British government. Can you go figure that? Called it a tragic accident, in which it was. And yet, Irvin said, and I always remember this very clearly, you know, he said, we feel like damn murderers, meaning we should have pushed back. We should have said no, you know. It was too risky, too soon. We should have had a longer shakedown cruise, more testing. So the crew of the dead crew of the airship came through and started giving all these incredible details, many of which were verified by people in the know. And then a weird coda to it was that this crash was so horrific, it ended the British airship program, right? Cancelled it right there. They scrapped R100. They took the scrap of R101, and all that was left was the steel, the metal frame, and they sold it to the German Zeppelin company. And they put some of that metal into a, I'm sure you've heard of the Hindenburg.
Oh, no, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Which met its own fiery end in the skies above the United States 8 years later. Oh, which really God. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Was the whole airship concept cursed? Was there something about that metal after the crash that they should have just left it on the scrap heap? I don't know. But it brought down the curtain on Britain's airship program forever. Now, we do still use airships. I mean, I was down in Tombstone last year, and I saw a big one used by the Border Patrol, of all people, to monitor the border with
yeah.
radar.
Yeah.
But this vision of airships sailing through the skies with passengers going from London to New York or London to Delhi or whatever never materialized. All of Britain's airship dreams went up in flames on that hillside in France, and the ghosts of the R101 came back to talk about how angry they were.
Oh, my gosh. Now, didn't something similar happen with Eastern Airlines Flight 401? Didn't the crew come back in not a seance, but a Ouija board session?
Allegedly, not so much that, but they were seen. Their apparitions were seen. Now we're going forward to the 1970s and to the US. Eastern Airlines Flight 401, one of the famous Whisper liners, which crashed in the Florida Everglades on final approach. And the story was that parts from the crashed airliner were put into other airliners for the same airline. And that on those flights, the dead captain and flight engineer were seen. And they said there will never be another accident with a Lockheed Whisper liner for Eastern Airlines because we will not allow it to happen. It turned out when all was said and done, what had failed was a 25-cent light bulb in the cockpit, which falsely said that the landing gear wasn't down when it was.
Oh my god!
The whole crash was caused by that and the captain accidentally nudging the yoke and turning off the autopilot. Point being, though, the people that saw this were people that had worked with the dead men. They knew what they looked like. It would be like me dying and then you recognizing me at a paranormal convention further down the line, you know?
Yeah.
So the airline pushed back and said, look, this is just ghosts and goblins, right? This is ridiculous. We don't want to hear any more of these ghost stories. The flight crews basically said, we know what we're seeing. And they insisted that the airline had pushed so hard against them to cover this up that their jobs were threatened if they kept telling these stories. But the flight engineer's face was seen looking out of a microwave oven in the galley. The captain himself was seen sitting in first class in an empty seat in his full regalia, like full-bodied apparition, not shadow figures, not a side-eye sighting, a full-on sighting by someone who worked with him. What you really have in this case, Tim, is you have a whole bunch of people who are making up stories about their dead colleagues and lying, or an airline that wanted to sweep this all under the rug and something genuinely ghostly was happening. And it's to this day, you know, people will take either side. I mean, I don't see the benefit in them to making this up. I don't see the gain in them lying about it. It just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I can see where the airline would want to sweep it under the rug. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and they insisted that they had never used a single part from Flight 401 on any of the plane. However, the crews, the staff pushed back and said the airline had insisted that they not put in the maintenance logs that they had used parts from the crash plane, that they be left out, which is a federal offense.
Yes.
Like if you do that, you are in big trouble if you are caught. So you have the airline telling this story. You have the flight crews telling that story. The answer is probably somewhere in the middle, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But it remains one of the great hauntings. And I will say this, their promise was absolutely correct. There never was another Whisper liner crash for Eastern Airlines as long as the airline was in business. Not one accident or crash on that model of plane.
Wow.
Makes you wonder, huh?
That does make you wonder. That's a great place to leave it. Folks, the book is a good one, a very good one. I encourage you to go get it. Boy, I've got chills right now, Richard. You just left me with chills. I think you left our entire audience with chills on that one.
Devil's night, Tim. What better night for ghost stories?
That's right. What better night for ghost stories? Well, folks, I wish you a happy Halloween. Richard, I wish you a happy Halloween as well.
To you also, my friend.
Yeah. And we wish everyone, especially if you put in for the Conjuring House, good luck. And hopefully your bid is successful. The book is Ghostly Encounters, Terrifyingly True Hauntings, the author Richard Estep. We have a link in the description of this program. Want you to go get this book, folks. It is a truly tremendous book. Richard's got the copy for watching on video right there. That's what it looks like. It's put out by Visible Ink Press. And go get yourself a copy today. Go get one for a person you love and that you want to truly scare this holiday season. That's good advice as well. Folks, we're on the weekend. Of course, it is a holiday weekend, Halloween weekend. If you're going out to a haunted house somewhere or if you're going to a Halloween parade, like right here in Anoka, take someone with you that is disabled or elderly, someone who can't get out of the house. Do a favor for someone that... there's fall cleanup to be done. There's all kinds of activities. There's church festivals. There's things out there to be done. Take someone with you that is disabled or elderly, someone who can't get out of the house that would like to enjoy life. Please be a light in someone's darkness this weekend. A message from your friends here at Darkness Radio. Lots of things going on here as well. The new iOS 26 will be out soon. The app will be updated here at Darkness Radio for the Apple app. Make sure you check and see that the update is available and update your Apple app for Darkness Radio. If you're listening to this program and not watching it on YouTube, it's the original Darkness Radio on YouTube, or just go to darknessradioshow.com and you can watch the program as well as listen to it make sure you like and subscribe, by the way, after you've watched. We want to make sure we add you there as well as listening to it. And if you have a friend or a colleague or a family member that loves the paranormal, make sure you mention to them that you got this great paranormal program that you're tuned into called Darkness Radio that you love to listen or watch. And bring them on board right here to the best in paranormal programming. That'll do it for this week. We got a great week of shows ahead next week. And join us next week for the best in paranormal programming. Thank you so much. We love you guys. And we'll see you next week for the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
'Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.